Now we're holding on page of Ches in Sanhedrin, four lines from the bottom, middle of verse Samach Aleph. We've been learning about the creation of Adam Rishon. So continuing on that topic, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam Rishon misoifa olam vad soifa hayu. Adam Rishon extended from one end of the world to the other. So in the original Ein Yaakov, he just put in there a parenthetical note, the Yavavil Kosov La'el B'chagiga that's quoted earlier in Masechta Chagiga, you have that same Gemara. However, the later printers of Ein Yaakov put in the rest of it. So Adam was misoifa olam vad soifa, chenemar, as the Pasuk says, consider, says Moshe, has there ever been such a thing, as it says Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, ever since the day when Hashem created man on the earth, and from one end of the heaven to the other end, so from one end of the world to the other. So in other words, Parshat Pshat would mean that Moshe is saying, has there ever been such a thing anywhere in the world or any time in history? But now the Gemara is taking it also in the sense that it means that Adam himself was Mekseh Shemayim, Mekseh Shemayim. Kivin Shesorach, but once he acted badly, once he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he niach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodai Olav Hashem, so to speak, placed his hand on him, Umiyatoi, and made him smaller. Shenema, as you have another pasuk from Kapitol Kuf Lamed Tes, which we've learned before was a kapitol originally composed by Adam Rishon, and you have the pasuk, Ocher V'Kedem Tzautani, Hashem, you created me Ocher and Kedem. Now, Ocher and Kedem means afterwards and beforehand. So Rashi points out this means that we know from other Gemaras that Adam was created as, according to one opinion anyway, as back-to-back figures, him and Chava. So that would represent Ocher V'Kedem Tzautani. And then the post continues, Vatoshes, and you placed your hand on me. So in other words, at first Hashem created him, Ocher V'Kedem, but filling up the whole world. Afterwards, Vatoshes, then Hashem, so to speak, placed his hand on him and made him smaller. So according to Rashi, again, the Ocher V'Kedem Sartoni is talking about the fact that Adam and Chava were created back-to-back, which is one opinion on the subject in Gemara's in Brachos and in Eruvim. On the other hand, Maharsha says that it really fits better in context of what we're saying over here, that it means, Rashi himself explains in this Gemara and Chagiga, that what it means is that Hashem, so to speak, created Adam twice. First, very, very tall, and later on, low and small. Then he says another point is Ocher and Kedem actually mean east and west. Kedem often means east. Ocher, the back, sometimes means the west in the sense that when you're facing towards the east and directions in Tanakh are usually given with reference to the east, so then your back is towards the west. So that would mean that literally, Ocher v'Kedem Tzautani, you created me from east to west, that he filled up the whole world. What that means, filled up the whole world, we'll talk about in a second. Then Maharsha adds another point as well. Now in Bava Basra, a couple of months back, we learned that after the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam was 100 amos tall. And it talks about over there, Lost in Love, will be 100 or even more than that, 200. So the point, Vatosha Salai Kapecha hints at that. The word Kaf, Chof Pei, is Gematria 100. So what does it mean that he filled up the whole world? So one is some on the Foshim, the Yad Ramah, and others that say that it doesn't mean literally, it just means it's an exaggerated way of saying that Adam was extremely tall and now Hashem made him shorter. On the other hand, the Rama Foshim will talk about that it means more metaphorically, that it means, in other words, like Adam knew everything there is in the world, which is, for example, how he had the Chochmah to be able to name all the animals, which the Malachim didn't. Maharsha refers over here to a Tosfos in that Gemara in Chagiga that actually seems to understand that in Parshat Pshat, because the Gemara is going to go on to say over here how large is that space, and then Tosfos compares and contrasts it with the Gemara in Talmud on the subject, which we'll talk about more about that in a minute. So it seems that Tosfos takes it in the more straightforward sense that Adam literally could extend from one end of the world to the other. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar, Adam Rishon mina oretz ad l'rakia hoya. Adam Rishon extended from earth to heaven. Shenemar, let's look at that same pasuk that Moshe is telling the Jewish people. L'mina yom shabara l'kim Adam ala oretz. From the day that Hashem created Adam on the earth, olam k'tzei ha-shamayim ad k'tzei ha-shamayim, from the end of heaven to the end of heaven. So in other words, putting the words together, al ha-oretz, olam k'tzei ha-shamayim, tells us that he was al ha-oretz, he's standing on the ground and reaching up to k'tzei ha-shamayim, reaching up to the edge of heaven. And again, Kivin Shasarach, then when he acted wrongly and ate from the Eitzadas, he niach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodav Olava Miyato, then Hashem placed his hand on him and made him smaller, Shanem, with the same Pasuk, Ochav HaKadim Sartoni V'Gomer, again implying that there was, that Hashem placed his hand on Adam and made him smaller. Well, the Gemara says Kashu Kroy Adadi. Well, then aren't the Pesukim contradicting each other? So, what was Adam's size before the Chet Eitzadas? Was he from one end of the world to the other, or was he from earth to heaven? And the answer is Aidi v'Aidi, Chodem Midihi. In fact, they're both the same thing. They're both the same distance. And therefore, the Torah can, and therefore each opinion means the same thing, and it's just expressing it in different ways. So again, Marashah points out that there's a Tosfos in Chagiga that seems to understand this literally, because Tosfos says in that case, if we're going to say that from one end of the earth to the other is the same as from earth to heaven, then it comes out that there's a contradiction between that and the Gemara and Talmud. The Gemara has a whole story over there in the Sefer Talmud that Alexander the Great asked the Chachamim a bunch of questions, top of page 56. That Alexander the Great asked the Chachamim a bunch of questions, and among them was this question, which is larger, from earth to heaven, or from end to end? And they said basically we don't know the answer to that, because the Gemara explains that they didn't want to get too far into these kinds of questions that he's asking, because he's going to end up asking what was there before the world was created and what will be after it's gone and so forth, questions that he has no business asking. In any case, Tosfos is saying, then, if they're the same thing, they could just have easily told them, it's the same thing, and that's that. So that's Marashah talks about in the relevant Gemara and Chagiga, and also in Talmud. It can be talking about, for example, we can look at it, I mean, the earth is not flat after all, it's a sphere. So when we say Mekseh Ha'aretz, Mekseh Ha'aretz, there's really no such thing as the ends of the earth per se. But what we can talk about, for example, halfway around the globe or all the way around it, so that would be different ways of looking at it. Maybe you could look at it, that the distance... So that's what we're saying over here. The Gemara is saying over here that Adam Rishon's width was Mekseh Ha'aretz about Mekseh Ha'aretz, from east to west. So that can mean, in other words, halfway around the earth. And then Me'aretz Ad L'Rakia would be the same amount, would be the same distance as it is from one side of the earth to the other. The width and the height are basically the same thing. So it's a sphere, but yeah, we're talking about from east. No, we're talking, right, so that's the thing. So we're talking about the width of Adam, but also, so in fact, one explanation is when he's laying down, he would stretch from east to west. When he's standing up, he would stand up with his height being up to Shemayim. In any case, Marashah talks about there can be a difference between halfway around the world versus all the way around, that would factor into that, whether we consider that that's more than the distance from earth to heaven, or whether it's the same thing, etc. And again, you have a number of Mephoshim that point out that really at the end of the day, it's metaphorical when we say that he was from one end of the world to the other. So far, not so far, means that Adam had knowledge of everything that's going, of everything down here on earth. And when it says that he could reach up to the Shemayim, means he also had knowledge of everything that's going on in Shemayim. There's an interesting Musav Dikavort on it, when the Gemara says, Aidi v'Aidi Chodem Midihi, it's the same thing, meaning, in other words, a person can choose in his life. What is he going to be? Am I going to be Me'aretz Ad L'Rakia? Am I going to be focused on Ruchnius? Am I going to be Misofa or the Matsofa, that I'm focused on the Gashnius of the world? You can't have both. It's going to have to be one or the other. Aidi v'Aidi Chodem Midihi, it's one Midah or the other. You can't have both. Fine. The Gemara goes on, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam Arishon B'Loshon Arami Sipper. Adam Arishon spoke in Loshon Arami. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, another Pasuk from that Kapitel Kuf Lamed Tes, V'li Mayokru Re'echa Kael. To me, how Yokru, which means how precious, or how dear, or it can also mean how difficult, Re'echa are your Re'echa Kael. Now the word Re'echa, we're taking the word yokru to mean yokru would mean honorable, and that's in Aramaic the word for honor is yikar, like the classical Lashon Kodesh word for it is covered. So if he's using the word yokru, and some Mephoshim say also that re'echa is also would also be an Aramaic word for thoughts. As you have the word rayonach, for example, in Sefer Daniel, which is the Aramaic word that Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, your thoughts. So therefore, yokru, those two words, yokru reyecha, would be an Arami. Now, what does that mean? We know that Odom spoke Lashon Kodesh. He named the animals in Lashon Kodesh. The names Ish and Isha come from Lashon Kodesh. The Medrash points out, you know, Hebrew is almost the only language in the world where the words for man and woman are almost identical, and you have this as a different prefix on a different suffix on the word Isha. When Odom says she should be called Isha, kimi ish lukachazos. So the Medrash points out that way of deriving the name wouldn't work in any other language. There's no other language where you can say you take the word for man and put a feminine suffix on it and you get a woman. So that includes Aramaic, and in Aramaic the words for it are much different. Gavra and Itza. So obviously it can't mean that he named himself and Chava and all the animals in Aramaic. So there are Mephoshim who explain that B'loshon Arami Sipper means that he would converse. When he had to converse, like Sam talking with somebody else, he would use Loshon Arami. Maybe in order to not use Loshon Kodesh because of its greater Kedusha. But he knew Loshon Kodesh, of course, and when he needed to use it, he would use it. In the same way as, for example, let's say, you know, nowadays, you know, we daven in Lashon Kodesh, for example, but we speak and we learn Torah and we do lots of other things in English. And in a generation or two, it was the same thing, Hebrew and Yiddish. So you can have that Odom had a language for Dvarim Shebekdusha and a language more for Sipper, which would be Lashon Arami. That's one way of looking at it. Another explanation is that it's before the Chetei Tadas versus afterwards. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz gives this answer. Before the Chetei Tadas, he spoke Lashon Kodesh. After the Chetei Tadas, he lost his greatness, so therefore he's downgraded the same way as he mixed in Tov and Ra into the world, the same way. Now he was downgraded to speaking Lashon Arami, which is also a blend of Lashon Kodesh and other languages. Iyun Yaakov makes an interesting point over here, that Odom daven to be forgiven. So why this that he spoke in Lashon Arami may also help explain why his tefillos weren't accepted. The Gemara tells us in Sota that men in Shabbos, the Malachi HaSharis, don't pay attention to Lashon Arami. Does that mean they don't understand it? Does it mean they don't consider it a chosh of a language? Whatever the case, and since a person, generally speaking, needs malachim to help his tefillos go up to Hashem, then therefore the malachim wouldn't help out his tefillos in that, because he spoke them in Lashon Arami.
What was the davening for?
He was davening according to Yonyaku. He was davening to be forgiven. For the Chetei Tadas, the Pashas. So he did tremendous struggle, but Yon Yaakov is saying that nevertheless, one reason we can say why his tefillos were not accepted is because he was saying them in Lashon Arami rather than Lashon Kodesh. So evidently, I guess that Yon Yaakov would have to understand, according to the opinion, that now after the Chetei Tadas, he lost his ability to speak Lashon Kodesh, and therefore now he can't daven in that anymore. So it's Alderach, you know, the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, why the Anshei Knesset HaGdola set up a fixed text for davening in the first place. And not Torah, you don't need that. Whenever you want, you daven in your own words. And he explains, because the Jews at the beginning of Bais Sheni didn't know Lashon Kodesh well enough, and they wouldn't be able to daven to Hashem in a clear language. So therefore, Anshei Knesset HaGdola set it up for us. So here, in other words, we would do the same kind of thing with Odom Edition. Marsha brings it, there's a parenthetical note in Rashi over here that says the words that the Gemara is quoting over here, Ma Yokru Re'echa Kale. Take the initials of that and rearrange them, and you have the word Arami. So therefore, right there in those words, you have a hint that he was speaking B'loshon Arami. Marsha refers over here to an explanation of his in Bava Basra, which is a very interesting explanation. What it means, what does it mean that Odom Edition B'loshon Arami Sipper, and why Davka is the Gemara using this pasuk for it? And the explanation is, the Gemara is going to go on to say, that what Odom meant with that pasuk is he looked ahead. Hashem showed him, as we're going to say now, all the leaders of all the future generations, and he saw Rabbi Akiva and was very saddened by the way he was killed by the Romans. And he says, "V'li ma'yokru re'echa kel." So now Marsha says, given that we're saying that the Malachim don't understand or don't like the Aramaic language, then Odom had to kind of camouflage what he's saying to Hashem by saying it in Lashon Arami. Otherwise, the Malachim are going to overhear it, and they're going to say, "Hi, you know what? Look at that. We told you shouldn't have created man, and look how even Odom is finding it sad that such a thing happened." Or they'd be offended by we said you shouldn't create man, and here in the end you created man and gave him the Torah, and look and Odom Edition is praising Rabbi Akiva's Torah. So Marsha explains, in order to camouflage all that from the Malachim, is why he used Aramaic words in his pasuk talking about this. So, behind her Amar Rish Lakish, so this fits with what Rish Lakish says. That was saying that, that Odom said, V'lima yokura echokel, and specifically what he's referring to. Rish Lakish explains, my dichtiv, zes sefer tolus Odom. The Pasuk says, this is the book of the generations of man. So what does the Pashat chat means? It means that this is the retelling of the generations. It's going to start with Odom, and then Chase, and then Enosh, and so forth. But sefer suggests that there's an actual book there. So it means melamed sheheroa kodesh baruch hu. It means that Hashem showed Adam Rishon dor dor v'doshav every generation and its doshim, the ones in it who darshin Torah to the public. Dor dor v'chachamav, every generation and its chachamim who paskin, who teach Torah to the, who teach Torah to their talmidim and paskin halacha. So he showed him generation by generation the leaders of each, the leader of each generation. Kivinshi gil the dodo shor Rabbi Akiva. When he reached in the book, he reached the generation of Rabbi Akiva. Samach b'terosei, Odom was happy with to see about Rabbi Akiva's Torah. V'nisatsev b'misasev, but he was upset and sad over the way Rabbi Akiva was killed, where he was tortured and his eyes flesh was combed off with iron combs by the Romans. Omar, so he says on that v'li ma yokru efokel. So he says this plastic on that. So either it can mean, again, the word yokru can mean honorable, or it can mean difficult. And the word re'echa can mean your friends, or it can mean your thoughts. So that allows us to understand several different meaning, several different layers of meaning in the pasuk. Odom is saying how honorable are your friends, Hashem, referring to Rabbi Akiva. Look how honorable and great he is in his Torah. And it can also mean how difficult are your thoughts, Hashem, that even the Malachim, we know from the Gemara, complained about Zu Torah, Zu Schara. So it's very difficult to understand the full depth of Hashem's thoughts. Why he would make it like this? That Rabbi Akiva has, that Rabbi Akiva is killed by the Romans like that. So believe my Yochur Echakel, Odom says on this. But again, by taking the word yokru and maybe also the word re'echa to be in Aramaic, we see that Adam Rishon Beloshon Arami Sipper. Okay. Next, V'Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam Rishon Min Hoya. Adam Rishon was a min. Now, a min throughout Shas means somebody who denies fundamental concepts of Yiddishkeit. So Rashi says over here, Noitel Avodah Sechovim. He's inclined towards Avodah Zarah. Now, how could we say such a thing? I mean, Adam Rishon, Eitz Yosef points out over here, you have a Gemara in Erevin that says that Adam Rishon chosid gadol haya. And he was saying derogatory things about him, that he was a min, and the Gemara is going to say a couple of other derogatory things about him. So, Rabbeinu Hanano gives an interesting explanation. He says, it doesn't mean that Adam, we're not saying that Adam was a min. The minim say that Adam was a min. They say, you know what, we're not the ones who came up with this idea of minus that you Chachamim have against us. Adam Rishon himself, no less, was a min, so we're just following in his ways. So then the Chachamim are telling us, be aware that the minim are saying such things, and be aware how to counteract them. On the other hand, the Yad Ramah says, come on, that doesn't really work. The Gemara is bringing psukim on it. So that wouldn't really fit with the idea that the Gemara is only telling us what the minim say. Okay, then Yad says, fine, maybe those psukim themselves are what we answer the minim with. But a number of Mephoshim talk about what it actually means that we're taking it in the literal sense, that we're saying that the Chachamim themselves are saying that he was a min. So first of all, Maharsha says it means, again, Rashi is carefully saying he's noite l'avodas chachamim, he's inclining in that direction. He's not actually denying Hashem, he's not actually worshipping avodah zarah. First of all, you're going to have another one that says toifah b'ikar haya. Second of all, we know that it was only in Enosh's times they started worshipping avodah zarah. So it would mean, in other words, that he had an inclination towards that, but not that he's actually acting on it yet. A number of Mephoshim talk about in various ways that the very thing of what Adam did over there is there's a certain degree of minos in it. The fact that he's listening to the Nachash who claims to him, for example, that one thing Rashi mentions on the pasuk that the Nachash claimed to Chava and to Adam that Hashem ate from the Eitz Hadas and created the world. So that's a form of minos to claim that Hashem depends on something else and gets his powers from there. The very fact that he disobeyed Hashem, the fact that he brought a Yetzirah into himself, all of these are various aspects of minus. And then therefore, in token of that, we can say that he was a min. Shenemar, Vayikra Hashem alekim ala Adam, Vayimu alei Ayeka. He says, where are you? Ayeka means, on not a libcha, where has your heart inclined to? In other words, Hashem knows where Adam is. So you have the famous verse from the Alter Rebbe that it means Hashem is telling him, and Hashem is telling Adam and every person at all time, where are you? Where are you holding in life? But here the Gemara is saying another point is, where is your heart? And b'makom shemachshavta shel adam shamhu. So if your thoughts are not where they're supposed to be, then you yourself, ayeka, where are you? So therefore we see that his hearts are not, that his hearts and his thoughts are not where they belong, and that in other words amounts to there's a certain degree of minus in his heart. Eitz Yosef points out, you know, we say the Lashon and the Parashat of Tzitzis, Vlo Yiskos Suru Achri Levavchem, and Chazal tell us that refers to don't follow after minus. So we see that when a person is into minus, then you can say he's Sosuru, he's wandering around Sosuru, like you have by the Meraglim, Tur Haaretz, that he's searching around and wandering around from the place where he should be. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Moshech Ba'ur Laseh. Oh, yeah. Rabbi Yitzchak says that Odom Rishon also pulled on his Urla. So a person has a bris milah, but afterwards it's possible to take the skin and stretch it to cover it to make it look like you didn't have a bris milah. The Gemara mentions such a thing in Yevamos. It mentions that, for example, in the time of Ben Kuziva, better known as Bar Kochla, the Gemara says there were many Jews who were forced to do that by the Romans or whatever. But here we're saying that Odom did that. And how do we know that? Sivhacha v'hema ka'odim ovrubiris. You have a pasuk. The Navi Hosea tells the Jewish people they, like Odom, have violated the bris. So we're understanding that it means like Odom means like Odom Arishin. So Chtiv Hasem has brisi hefa, and we see that Mila is called a bris. So when we say v'hema ka'odim ovrubiris means Odom violated the bris, and Hosea is telling the Jews of his time you're doing the same kind of thing. In fact, the Gemara actually explains in that Gemara in Yevamos that the words as brisi hefar in fact refer specifically to this case of Moshech Bar Lasse. You have a case where a person doesn't get a bris milah in the first place. That's a different matter of Oral Zocha Shalom Yimel's Psara Lasse, the beginning of that pasuk. But what it finishes off is brisi hefar means a Moshech Bar Lasse who tries to conceal his bris milah. So again, you have a number of different explanations what this means. First of all, did Adam even have a mitzvah of bris milah yet? Mar Shah points out, and other Mephoshim point out, that he was born already gemalot. Now, there was a medrash, in fact, where Min asks one of the Chachamim, if Mila is such a precious mitzvah, why didn't he give it to Adam Rishon? But here we're saying that Adam was already born gemalot, because after all, the Orla, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Nedarim explains, the Gemara, the Medrash over there in Bereishis Rabbah explains that the Orla is a mum on a person, and therefore Hashem created Adam perfect, so therefore he didn't have an Orla. So again, one idea would be that he brought a Yetzirah on himself, so in that sense, it's like covering up his mila. But in other words, the same idea. What is the orla after all? It's a coverage. Rashi explains in a few places that the word orl or orla basically means a blockage, a covering. So he blocked and covered himself up from being sensitive to ruchnius, from being sensitive enough to ruchnius. So therefore, that in the physical sense, that amounts to being moshech bar lasei. There's even midrashim that say that actually after the chetei tzedas, his orla taka grew and covered what was before uncovered. So in other words, Moshech Bar Lasse, he didn't literally go and do it himself, but as a result of his Aveira, then that happened, and now he became a Moshech in effect. There's a Medrash, by the way, that makes a different connection between Orla and Odomerish, and Orla in the sense of the Orla of trees. We know we have a mitzvah, you can't eat the fruit of a tree for 3 years. So the Medrash says, Mi gala ofra me'enecha, if only somebody could uncover the dust from Adam Rishon's eyes so he could get to see what his descendants are doing. He couldn't hold himself back from the Chetei Tzedas, as we learned before, for 3 hours. And your descendants, the Jewish people, are holding themselves back from fruits of trees for 3 years. So that's what's saying that Adam was Moshech Bar Lasse. Rav Nachman am a koifer be'ikr haya. Rav Nachman says another point is that Adam was a koifer be'ikr. He denied the fundamentals. He denied the fundamental concept of Yiddishkeit. And the same idea, in other words, that would include, for example, the fact that you have to do whatever Hashem says, and the fact that Hashem didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, as the Nachash claimed, and all these other kinds of things that go into that. Sivhacha of Rubris, the same pasuk from Hosea that says that they violated the bris. Now it is true, Chtiv Hasem as brisi hefar. You do have the pasuk as brisi hefar, which refers to bris milah, but you have another pasuk that refers to Yiddishkeit as a whole. as the bris. But Omer, the pasuk says the goyim are going to ask how come Eretz Yisrael was so devastated and destroyed, and they're going to answer Alasher Ozvor's bris Hashem of the Kavoyim, because they abandoned the bris of Hashem. So, meaning in other words, and then they went and worshipped Rabbi Dezara. So therefore, we see that kofar be'ikr is also called violating a bris. So therefore, again, vehema kadam over bris means that Adam himself violated that bris and denied fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. When you get down to it, when you get to the Yud Gimel Ikrim, you think about it in eating from the Eitz Hadas, he was taka over on a number of them. You have the concept of Schar V'Oinesh, the concept that Hashem speaks to people and tells them what to do and what not to do, and so on and so forth. So you have actually therefore that all fits with this idea that he was koy for beikar. And again, it doesn't have to mean we're not talking about, for example, that Adam was a run of the mill apikodas or atheist or something. What we mean is bedakus. In other words, we can talk, and on one level, what we mean in this Gemara is that all these things are bedakus. We know that with every avera, you can have the actual gross form of that avera, and then you have more and more finer and then more subtle forms of the same avera. So here, Adam had the more dakustiker ones, not necessarily the gross physical ones that we're talking about. Yun Yaakov points out, for one thing, if it was Moshe Farlosa, that explains why he was kicked out of Gan Eden. Gan Eden can't have in it people who are not demalet. And in fact, he says that we have the famous medrash that we have the Gemara that says that Adam sits by the door of Gehenim and won't allow into Gehenim anybody who does have a bris. But Eitz Yosef, unless he was metame his bris, and then he will work. Not Abram we're talking about, did I say it differently? Yeah. But now, Eitz Yosef brings from some medrash, apparently the other way around as well, or actually Yun Yaakov brings the other way around, that the vice versa, that Adam is also sitting by the door of Gan Eden and won't allow anybody who doesn't have a bris in. So Adam doesn't have a bris now, he's Moshe Farlasa, and therefore he's kicked out of Gan Eden. The Gemara continues. Tnan Hossam. We learn in a Mishnah the reason this Gemara is going to come in over here because part of it is going to be talking about psukim that refer to the creation of Adam, and other psukim about Ma'aseh Bereishis. So the Gemara, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, it also fits very well with the previous piece where again Rabbeinu Hananel had said that Adam Marishan Min Hoya and Moshech Bar Lasse Hoya are the arguments of the Minim claiming that Adam was one of them. So we need to know how to answer a Min and how to answer an Apikoros. So the Gemara says Tnanhos, and we learn in a Mishnah it's in this coming Shabbos, it's Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Heve Shokud Lumud Torah. This is Rabbi Lozer actually. It says in the Mishnah over there. Rabbi Lozer Ben Aruch. Have a shokud lumud Torah. Be diligent to learn Torah. Don't just you do it as an occasional thing. And as it were, Rashi over here actually translates shokud as mohir vizoris. Be quick and be eager to learn Torah. But another meaning of shokud means to diligently do it over, learn over and over until and make sure you know it thoroughly. So do that. The dam mashatosh of apikoros and know what you should answer in apikoros. So if an apikoros comes up with arguments from psukim, you should know how to refute him. Those two things go together. Only when you shock with Luma Torah are you going to know Masha Tosha Vapikurta. So those two things go together. But as Marsha says, in other words, the vote is the minim, the apikosim, after all, they learned psukim and they use those for their things. Ada Yemazay, you have the Christian missionaries do that all the time, for example. So therefore, you have to be shock with Lumad Torah, Shabbat, so that you'll be able to answer them from the psukim themselves. Because look, you try to answer them from Torah Shabbat, Midrashim, it's not going to go very far. You have to know Damashatoshim, what you should answer them from the Mikra itself. Now that only applies to a goyish apikoros. Then you should know to be able to bring him answers from psukim and show that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Avol the apikoros yisrael, but if it's a Jewish apikoros, don't even bother. Kol shekhen depok out fei. He's just going to become more chutzpahdik. You answer him. He knew already Yiddishkeit, and then he was kofer in it. So therefore, he's going to know all those details, and you're not going to be able to give him an answer that he's going to find so acceptable because he already knows all those potential answers that you could use.
Is
doing that lakanto. But the point is, in other words, that he also knows. So Marsha points out another point as well. He knows the Midrashim. Mela, Goy doesn't know the Midrashim and the Torah Shabbat Peh and everything. So you give him, so fine, you can't actually give him an answer from Torah Shabbat Peh because he won't accept it anyway, but at least you can give him Torah Shabbat Chsad. And he won't know any better. But as opposed to that, the Kodesh Yisrael, Marsha explains, the point is, if you give him an answer based on the Pshat of the Psukim, he's going to say, yeah, but I know that in the Gemara and Midrashim it says different, because when I was a Chedu Yingle, I learned it that way. So therefore he's not going to accept your answers on Pshat either. And then for that matter, it's going to cause him to disrespect Torah Shabbat Peh more. He's going to say, look, even you are not bringing a raya against me from Torah Shabbat Peh, mashma, that maybe it's not so important. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, don't bother with him. There was an interesting vort on this Dam Masha Toshav La'Pikoritis. There's an interesting Chassidish vort that the Bnei Yisoscha brings on it. He says, I think he says, da, the words da and ma refer respectively to Ava and Yira of the Eidishtir. So when you have da and you have ma, then Shatoshav La'Pikoritis. Then you'll be able to answer that Pikoritis properly. But if you're lacking in that Ava and then Yira, don't try it. We know, for example, in our times, for example, the Rebbe was always very against it. You have many letters of the Rebbe and many sichas from the early years where it was a very popular thing to have, like the radio and TV shows and public appearances or whatever, you know, with a priest, a minister, and a rabbi. You know, you have all the jokes that start that way, but back in the 50s and 60s, those were real live things where they would have panels like that with discussions about comparative religion and all that, and the Rebbe was always very, very against that kind of thing. There's many letters and many sichas about it, and we know one of the few that the Rebbe gave permission to go and deal with such things as Emmanuel Shochat al Vashalom. So you have to know who you are in order to be able to be Shatosh of Lapikaris. Now, so the Gemara continues in this connection. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokam Shapoku Aminim, in every place where the Minim claim that they want to be able to prove their hefkeirus from a pasuk. The word apikoros itself, by the way, some of the Farshim explain, the word apikoros itself comes from the same shadash pokar, which means to be disrespectful and to be careless. So therefore, an apikoros is somebody who is disrespectful to the Torah. So now, komakam shapokar aminim, in every place where the minim are disrespectful to the Torah and use it as an excuse from a pasuk for their chutzpah, chuvos and vitzidan, right away, there's an answer, there's a refutation next to there showing that they don't know what they're talking about. For example, Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu. For example, you have the pasuk where Hashem says, "Let us make man in our image." So the minim, one popular type of minos, was to claim that there's two or more gods. So when it says Nasa Adam in plural, then they would use that as an excuse. Hey, see that even the Torah itself says that. Well, the next pasuk says, "Vayivra Elikimus Adam B'Tzalmai." He, Elikim, created man in his image, making it clear that the Nasa Adam is not meant to imply that there's more than one God. What it does mean, we had before, and we're going to have later on in the Gemara, it means Hashem, so to speak, consulted with the Malachim. Some of Foshim explain it's like a royal plural, etc. But it doesn't mean there's more than one. Similarly, by the Dora Flogger, by the Tower of Babel, Hashem says, "Hava nerdav and novel Hashem svasam." Let us go down there and let us confuse their languages. So again, they use that as an excuse for their ideas. But no, the next pasuk continues, "Vayered Hashem lidus the Uves Amigdal." He, Hashem, came down to see the city and the tower that they had built. Again, in the singular. Another example. When Yaakov and his family are in Basel, he builds there a mizbeach, kishon niglu elav ha'elikim, because there the elikim appeared to him, and niglu is in plural form. So again, they're going to use that. But then in those psukim, Yaakov himself clearly says to his family that we're going to go there and we're going to daven and bring korbanos lokel ha'oina oisi b'yem tzarasi to the God who answered me on the day of my trouble, where the word lokel and the word ha'oina are both in singular form. So, okay, by Nasa Adam and Hovan Nerda, it can be, as the Gemara is going to say soon, because Hashem is consulting, so to speak, with the Pamal Yishamayla, as far as Niglu Elo Elikim, Rashi points out that the word Elikim itself has a plural form, after all. The word Elikim has a Yud Mem on it, which is usually a suffix for Lashon Rabbim. Therefore, the word Elikim often takes plural verbs as well. Rashi brings other. You have another example of that is the word Bailin, for example. Ba'olav Imai, for example, the word means one owner, but nevertheless, it's the style of Lashon Kodesh that words like that seem to be plural are given plural verbs to go with them, even when it's actually referring to a singular. So the same thing, Niglu Elav Harlekin. while Akim itself is plural, is for one thing because it represents Hashem as the creator of all the different things that we have in our world. Here these days in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is talking about how the name of Akim is the Shem Midas HaGvura VaTzimtzum, and through that there comes about all the different entities in our world, so therefore Akim is in plural form in token of that. But then once it's in plural form, then again it takes a plural verb, niglum. Another example, continues Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk says, here you have all within one pasuk. Moshe says to the Jewish people, Ki mi goy gadol, what great nation is there other than you, Ashaloy Elikim Krovim Elav, who has a God who is close to him, where again Elikim and Krovim are both in plural form, so again the minim are going to seize on that, but the same pasuk continues, Hashem Elikenu v'chol kareinu Elav, like Hashem our God, whenever we call out to him, v'loshen yachim. Making it clear again that Elikim Krovim, Udi in the pasuk is Elikim, is Lashon Rabim, and therefore again it takes a plural adjective Krovim, but not that there's actually more than one. Another example from a pasuk in Nevi'im, in David's tefillah to Hashem, Umicham Chol Yisrael Goyach Baretz, who is like your nation Yisrael, one unique nation on the earth, Asher Hochu Elikim, that Elikim went, and Hochu is again in plural form, so again the minim are going to try to claim from that, but the very next words are Lifkos Loi La'om, to redeem for him as the Jewish people as a nation. So we see again that making it clear that it's Loi to him and therefore it's only one. Okay. One more example from Daniel. In one of Daniel's visions, he sees he sees four tremendous beasts that represent four tremendous wild animals that represent the four Malchus, Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. So he describes how eventually in his vision, Adi Chorsovan Remiv, he says that thrones are set up, the Atik Yomin Yisiv, and the Ancient of Days, meaning Hashem, is sitting. So again, Chorsovan and Remiv is in plural. So implying that there's more than one throne. But then, the Atik Yomin, Yisiv, is in singular, Hashem, the Ancient of Days. This is where we get the Lashon Atik Yomin, and before Kiddush, for example, is based on this passage. And Yisiv is in singular, again, showing that Hashem is singular and Hashem is one. Okay. Fine. So we have all these examples where the minim try to claim that there's more than one based on words in the pasuk, and right away you have a refutation over there that they don't know what they're talking about. The next words in the pasuk or the next pasuk or whatever shows that it's not so and Hashem is one. I once came across, somebody pointed out an interesting example of that, another kind of thing, for example, with the minim claim. We know there's a whole idea in another religion of original sin, that every person is born with the sin of Adam and Chava, and they have to do whatever they have to in their religion to get rid of it. And they bring a proof from, one thing is also they claim that the original Torah, they claim that our original Torah was that Hashem gave up on it, and there's their new thing or whatever, and they bring up for it a pasuk in Yirmiyah that mentions the Bris Chadasha. Hashem says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the Jewish people, and they claim that their thing is a new covenant. Meanwhile, the pasuk right before that in Yirmiyah talks about that anybody who eats unripe grapes, his own teeth will become blunt, meaning, like we learned before in the Gemara, there's no children don't get punished for their father's Averus, and vice versa, so that destroys this whole notion of theirs of original sin. Another great example over there of how they have their idea, and right away the pasuk before that shows they don't know what they're talking about. Plus, also the pasukim after that explain, of course, that the Bris Chadasha is not a whole new Torah. It means that Hashem is going to re-give us the Torah in a way that's actually going to stick with us, and we're not going to violate it like we did before. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Hanach Lomali. Okay, with most of these pasukim, So first let's start out with why does the Torah have to say them in the seemingly misleading way and have it in plural? And they're by Nasa Adam and Hovah Nerda and the rest of them. And the answer is Kiddur Rabbi Yochanan, because we can explain that like what Rabbi Yochanan says. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Oysa Dover, and then King Nimach B'Pamal Yishamayla. Hashem doesn't do anything unless he, so to speak, first takes advice from the Pamal Yishamayla, from the host in heaven, which means the Malachim, the based in Shamayla, whatever you want to call them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, another pasuk in Daniel, Digzeras Irin Pisgama. Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen to him, and he says this is by the gzera of the wakeful ones, meaning the malachim who are always awake and never sleep. Umema Kadish and Sheelsa, and by the word of the holy ones is this request that they requested from Hashem, that Hashem, so to speak, requested by them, should I do this or not? So in other words, Daniel is telling the Nebuchadnezzar, it's already been decided by the Pamal Shamayla, Hashem consulted with them and decided this is what's going to happen to you. So in other words, Hashem first consults with them. Marshal points out that Rashi and Chumash says, from this we learn the invisanusa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the humility of Hashem, that Hashem doesn't want the Malachim to be jealous of Adam, and therefore he, so to speak, consulted with him first. So in other words, Marshal says that basically you have two reasons in one, sort of. There's one because Hashem is an honor, Hashem wants to show us anivus, and the other one because the Malachim are going to be jealous. So we had before in our Gemara over here, we had Melam Malachim. We're saying, what are you going to bother creating mankind for? So they actually kind of combined those two explanations into one. So we'll continue next time, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with this Chosov and Remiv. Why are there two thrones? The other one we can all understand. They're all because of the Anivus of Hashem, or because of the style of the Pasuk or whatever. We'll tackle what's this Chosov on. So we'll deal with that next time, Beis Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGolah, Yud Tes Sivan. Chazal tell us, we're going to have it later in our Masechta Sanhedrin, that Mashiach comes behesach hadas. Now, what does that mean? We're constantly thinking about and talking about and then bringing our das and then connecting our das very strongly to Hashem and to Inyoni Mashiach HaGolah. So what does it mean, Mashiach Ba Behesach HaDas? First of all, at the very least, to begin with, we have, that Rebbe was always shturming all the years, that we have the thoughts and the understanding to the recognition that we're already at the entrance of Yemos HaMashiach, Hinei Zeh Ba, because already Kolu Kol HaKitzin, as that same Gemara says, and we already did Tshuva and finished all of Avodah B'Shleimus. So what does this mean when we say that Mashiach Ba Behesach HaDas? What it means is Hesach HaDas, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, means L'mailam in HaDas. So a person brings the whole concept of Mashiach and the whole concept of that we're on the threshold of Geula and so on and so forth. He brings that and makes it permeate his Das by thinking about it and contemplating into it, so it becomes eventually by him something which is L'mailam in HaDas, which is what Hesach HaDas really means. Continuing with halachas of tzitzis. So here we were talking about that if a piece of the talus rips off and you want to make another talus out of it or attach it to another talus, etc. So now what happens if a corner was cut off or torn off the talus and that place where the tzitzis are still attached to it is less than 3 gudlin by 3 gudlin? Now before we add a machlokas, does it have to be large enough to be a talus or is it enough to be 3 gudlin on 3 gudlin? So now though, this piece was less than 3 by 3 when it ripped off the begad. Now you have a machlokas also what you can do with this. Yes, Omanim, that now that corner will forever be possible to put tzitzis on it, even if you take off the tzitzis and put on new tzitzis after you re-sew it onto the garment, because what we would say is, according to that mandamer, since this piece was small enough, was so small, that it can't even be considered a beged for any purpose in halacha, the minimum size of a beged in halacha for dinim of tumah v'tahara is 3 gudlin by 3 gudlin. This one was not even that. Therefore, connecting it to another beged, it's still not considered connected, it's not considered part of the talus, and therefore you're going to put tzitzis on it, and it won't pass through the rest of the talus, even you sewed it on, and then you put talus, and then you put tzitzis on it. So it'll only be considered, at most it'll be like the hem, like the border that you have around a garment, which we learned in an earlier simon is not considered part of the talus. So that hem we said does count towards the 3 gudlin and the kesher gudlin and so forth, but it doesn't count as a place where you can actually put tzitzis. And according to this mandamer, the same thing would be true of this piece less than 3 by 3 ripped off this talus. Now the Alter Rebbe concludes that there are other rishonim who disagree with that. Nevertheless, again, where possible, you should be machmer, and we'll talk about more about details of that next time. That's Hashem. I'm not a man.